Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach Carskadden coming to you live from North Carolina. And for those who joined us last night on our Prophetic Flex, it was an honor to see some of you guys face-to-face and hear your responses. Actually see something, not just see something typed on a screen. So that was a blessing to have each and every one of you on with us. And today, I again want to go back towards last couple days. I didn't really focus on it, of the reordering our day, because I think in this season we need to, as all the prophetic is, you know, this month of April, as we enter into a new month, it's a month to, well, we've had dreams to refresh ourselves, to go into a place of protection from the Lord, so that we can be ready for the coming battle ahead in the month of May. And I want to start off in scripture of aligning ourselves and seeing how Jesus aligned himself to be able to release those anxieties that we carry and we gain throughout the day, so that as we go into our night watch, we can be free of the past day's hindrances and be able to receive what the Lord has for us. And so the passage of scripture I want to focus on is the story, a parable, or the story more so, of Jesus and the 5,000, feeding the 5,000. And the passage starts off Matthew 14, verse 15. But what I really want to focus on for us is where at the end of it, after the evening started and after you know, he fed the 5,000 with just the little loaves of bread and fish that he had, he does this after he sends his disciples away. It says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone. And when reading and looking throughout scripture, the reordering our day book that Chuck Pierce writes is the evening watch from 6 to 9, early evening watch, is a time where the Lord, it's somewhat of a time of gathering, but then it's a time of getting alone with the Lord, whether it be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a minute, of just saying, Lord, I have these anxieties, I understand them, but I want to release them to you so that I can be free of them. And that's what we want to focus on the day. So maybe tonight, you know, as you enter into your rest and every day, when I do this, even if it's just 10 seconds of, Lord, I have this anxiety, I release it to you, my night is more free, my mind is more free to be able to receive from the Lord and hear what he's talking about me, versus if I hold on to it, then I'm having a flushing dream of flushing out these anxieties, of dealing with what happened throughout the day, rather than just being in that place of peace before going to bed. And then Chuck talks about how he says, pull away and find a place to seek the Lord and ask the Lord to remove all distractions from you. And so we want to start doing that, going down this path of, okay, Lord, what do we do in this night season? We went through what we did in the morning watch, but what do we do in the night watch to be able to prepare ourselves for the night watch so that we can receive from you? All right. So I want to now go through some things in the news that are interesting. I'm, for some reason, unable to pull everything up on my screen today, but I want to go through some stories out there, continually busting the narrative of just because the media says something means it's a lie and we need to believe the complete opposite. because there's actual reporting being done, whether we like the people who are doing the reporting or not. And there's from several sources, the Washington Examiner and The Hill, they both have stories about this story that came out last night that Russia says, again, this is all from Russian sources, that two low-flying Ukrainian helicopters bombed a Russian oil depot in Belgorod, Russia, which is 25 miles from the Ukrainian border. Now, there's video evidence of it being blown up. It's also being reported that these depots don't have any significance on the actual oil supply within Russia. Still yet to be verified. I don't know. That's what's being reported. There are videos showing that people in Russia are being fearful and lining up and getting gas because you see an oil depot blow up. Yeah, I would think you're going to be concerned and possibly go get gas. But what is also interesting is you're not hearing anything from Ukraine. And, you know, the Biden the intelligence community in general and the Biden administration were saying there might be false flag operations. There might be false flag operations, which is very interesting. This is before everything kind of kicked off. But if we pay attention to what's actually been happening there, is they're getting closer supposedly towards peace talks and a negotiation. Russian troops are supposedly pulling back. Yesterday was news of a humanitarian corridor being allowed so that people who were still in Mariupol could exit out of Mariupol. And then this happens. I'm not saying which side is true or not, because I don't think we really truly know yet. I think it's still yet to be determined of what is actually going on here. But I highly, highly, highly suspect what we're being told from news media from Russia may or may not be true. We have to take it with a grain of salt. We have to wait for the truth to come out, because this would be very advantageous for Putin to see this and say, okay, well, we're going to go back and fight you harder. We're going to attack you even more. You started it. You know, he believes they started it for whatever reason by supposedly taking over Russian territory and such like that. So that's very alarming to see that there. Also, some news is that Zelensky has ousted two generals who are more so worked in like their secret service intelligence community because he considers them traitors. See if that's actually true or not. Ukraine is very corrupt, so it would not be that shocking of a surprise that somebody high up within the Ukrainian intelligence and government office would have ties to Russia. And that's part of the reason why the Russian troops are having such a low morale, I guess is the best way to put it, because they have friends and family. They weren't expecting to do this, and then yet here they are. Go kill your cousin because we say so. that's not very a motivating factor for them. But one thing that did happen that is really interesting, let me see if I'm going to try to pull it up, is now we're seeing the Biden administration. I can't pull this up. Okay, let me pull this up. Biden administration talking about how, and this is very interesting. We obviously want to continue to pray for a Biden administration on this issue. They're in the teeters of what they're actually going to do, but this is not a good move. I've talked about why before. If they're going to release oil reserves in hopes to cut prices fairly significantly, and I want to show you something. I'm just going to lay this out there and report the news on this, because this is utterly just shocking. President Joe Biden on Thursday ordered the release of 1 million barrels of oil per day from the nation's strategic petroleum reserve for 6 months. 6 months. I wonder what that leads to. It's now April. 6 months leads us into October, right before the midterm elections. It's very interesting. Do they continue to do that to quote unquote lower the price of gas? Because they're going to do anything in a bid to control energy prices that have spiked after the United States and allies imposed steep sanctions against Russia, even though that's not true. The goal is he's going to do everything to prevent the increase of the pain of the pump for American families. This is problematic because here's the issue is at the bottom of this article tells you the details of what you need to know. This is according to the Department of Energy, which manages the strategic oil reserve, petroleum reserves, more than 568 million barrels of oil were held in reserve as of March 25th. After the release, the government would begin to replenish the reserve once prices have significantly fallen. What do they deem as significantly fallen? Was it a dollar? Is it a dollar lower? $2 lower? Is it at this price when prices are double this? What do you consider lower? And the reason I point this out is, okay, 6 months is about 180 days. They're going to release 100 out of the 568 barrels of oil. They're going to release 180. They also had a chance, Congress and Senate, had a chance to add more oil reserves, petroleum reserves, to the strategic reserve when Trump was under president at a lower price, and they refused. And now Biden's doing this at this time because he's feeling the pinch, and he's blaming Putin with it. He's going down that narrative, which is a bad scenario. Now we also have OPEC stating that they are not going to increase production that the West wants because they say that it will harm their cost, their profit margins, basically. It'll cost them too much to produce that much oil, which is very interesting to see them play that. And so now the Biden administration says, well, there's nothing we can do. Oh, well, gas prices are going to go up. And because they're blaming, there's a big push to blame oil companies. Oh, this is big oil companies' problems. They're just doing profit margins. And look, next week they have a chance to ask big oil those questions about why prices are this high, and we'll see their answers. Now, are they doing this to listen to them? Or are they doing this to bash them next week? Are they even talking to them now about understanding why things are the way they are? Well, there's all these leases that aren't being used. Well, is it that they aren't being used or that there's no oil on those lands to be drilled? They're not answering that question. And so they're not understanding the significance of it. And his Department of Energy head, when asked of what are we going to do about it, she laughs and says, oh, there's nothing I can do about it. Yeah, you want to go to Iran, you want to go to Venezuela, you want to go to all these other countries that you know have significant humanitarian crisis and issues who you've spoken out against before, but now because you're in desperate need of something, you want to get on their good side so that you can buy oil from them. Meanwhile, you're harming your American citizens and economy at the same time. And there are Republicans and Democrats alike who are bashing them for this. This is a horrible, horrible move. It'll last short term. It may drop. It has dropped the price of oil for a little bit. But then again, after that, it's going to go back up and it's going to hurt our pocketbooks because now you and nice taxpayer dollars has to spend more money to go back and beef up the strategic petroleum reserves because of a decision made by this president. And what's interesting in all of this is he's blaming Putin. And then if you followed along yesterday, the administration said that supposedly there are those around him who have misled him, Putin. And the Biden administration is saying that that's what's happening. And I want to expose this for what this is. This is an absolute and utter false narrative. This is shows a lack of understanding of how the Kremlin operates. Biden and his administration are saying that because they put out intelligence publicly about Putin being misled by his military, that now he has isolated himself. He has fired people or put them under house arrest. People who were his advisors, and that is a crock soup full of nothing. That means nothing. That is an utter lie. There are people who have less intelligence than what our intelligence have, and they understand. The people who actually study Russia, study and understand that part of the world, know that this is full crock. They said 2 years ago, Putin had already isolated himself even more, which is why we were not able to understand and know what was coming out of Russia before under Trump, because Trump had made Putin isolate himself even before he left office, because Trump knew exactly who Putin was, knew exactly how to deal with him, and that caused him to isolate himself even more. So this little report that they supposedly released, it does not do the effect that they did. So this is, I'm sorry, this, I have to point this out. This is not true. They do not have that much persuasion. You can't flip something like that over 4 minutes, over like 4 days, saying, oh, we released this. Well, now he's going to isolate and do this. No. It's one or the other. He's either being misled, which that's not how Putin operates. He's top down, not bottom up. Or he's now all of a sudden being influenced. And so we're seeing, and this was a dream that Daniel Pierce had of, we possibly have our potential for a misfire in this. So we want to pray for the Biden administration in this scenario. Look, even with all the stuff going down with Hunter Biden and the exposing of the corruption of the Biden family, I am all for that justice coming forward. But he's still in office. His administration is still in office. They're still making decisions. So we need to pray for them to have the fear of the Lord, whether they have it or not. We're going to pray for it and pray for those who are under them to be healed, delivered, and to walk back in alignment with the Lord in the days ahead, because it's going to be what is needed. And then also pray for protection, a blanket of protection around Biden during his moments of dementia as he continues to be our president for the time being. And this leads into, with all this crazy chaos going on, the Biden administration, and Biden more so himself, is using the Defense Production Act, the same one President Trump used to increase the production of protective PPP equipment in response to the COVID-19 surge. He's going to start using it for green energy and promotion of clean, quote unquote, clean energy production. And so basically they're forcing this into existence. This is the Green New Deal. They couldn't get it passed with the Build Back Better. They couldn't get it passed through the Congress, through the Senate, because it's not what the American people want. So they're going to do it with under their own powers. And again, they're using what Trump did as a reason for it. So we're seeing this push for this. Will this actually work? Will this be helpful? And understand, they're going to have to start looking at things such as lithium, nickel, cobalt, graphite, and magnesium, to create these products. Plus, you're still going to have to use plastics. You're going to have steel, coal. You're going to have to use natural gas, oil to be able to run a lot of these systems. And then the push that's going on here in North Carolina is, then you got to put it in the hands of the people. So that's more taxpayer dollars. Taxpayer dollars, taxpayer dollars, taxpayer dollars. Increasing the national deficit, increasing the national debt yearly. You know, they talked about how their new budget is supposedly going to decrease the national deficit by X amount of dollars. Doing stuff like this, it will not cause that. And look, even when Bush did this whole thing of trying to make cars lighter and more energy and efficient for green energy purposes, it utterly failed. It wasted billions of dollars on that and giving it to the car companies. And yet we're not going to look at that disastrous decision and say that this one may not have the proper effects. So the problem is the government can't gauge the amount of risk, because to them, there is no risk. Well, yeah, it's going to work. It's going to do it, because they're politicians and they can just write a blank check. They're not the ones who have the fear of losing their jobs as a corporate executive would. So I digress off of that. Those are things we want to pray for the Biden administration. And then I want to highlight some things that are very concerning and things we need to watch out for. And I think just show the state of both political parties and obviously more so the Democratic Party as they push for this. And the first thing is, and this I say these stories because these are reasons why we need to pray for our current leaders and future leaders, as I pointed out yesterday, is that the House is now set. The House, again, has to go through the House and Senate to be put into law, the legalization of marijuana. Now, there's a host of reasons why to and not to, and a lot of this is obviously politically motivated. And Pew Research shows that who they ask, majority of Americans want this. Nancy Pelosi, Republicans go back and forth on this. Chuck Schumer's pushing for this. But I want to point this out. There's a little part of this story that is very increasing. And obviously, if they're going to do that, they're going to look financially at this, they're going to go for it. But I want to point this out. Because this is kind of snuck in here in a little piece of quiet. If you remember Sarah Bloom Raskin, who's supposed to be or was Biden's nominee for vice chair of the Fed. If you remember, I said she was married to Representative Jamie Raskin of Maryland. He is trying to add an amendment to this bill saying that he wants to clarify that people could not be denied security clearance because of cannabis use, meaning intelligence community, senators, congressmen, people who are in public office, because right now, if you do, you are denied security clearance. And in most instances, you are denied a job within the federal government if you use or admit to use of a illegal substance. And they do extensive background checks and stuff like that. But he wants to get that wiped off the map. So it's a And look, it's not just this that's the problem. It's the what Chuck prophesied about in his Future War of the Church book back in the 80s of this increase of lawlessness coming forward. And so we need to pray for our current and future leaders on the decisions that they make and the future leaders of understanding the consequences and the fruit and more so lack thereof of the decisions being made by our current leaders of letting things go forward. And there are Republicans who will vote for this because quote unquote monetarily, they see it as a way to increase revenue for the government to be able to pay for the increase of debts that they have. So it's very alarming to see that. We also see the news coming out that the Biden administration is standing against, not sanity, but more so this idea. They're standing for this idea that kids need to be able to have the ability to have surgeries to transition hormonally, giving them kids hormones, which is very, very, very alarming. And I think anybody who would support – and the reason I point this out is because there are those who are Christians. I'm not even going to talk about the world. We can't even begin to talk about the world until we deal with what's in the church. There are Christians who go along with this and are okay with this. And we just have to pray, Lord, open their eyes. Open their hearts. Because as we talked about the days, we have to separate ourselves as a church from those who are not going to stand up for biblical values. Stand up for the heart of the Father and walk them out, not just say things, but do them as well. And so this is something that's very alarming coming out of the White House, and more so Christians need to wake up to this. And then I'll put this prayer point, and then I want to close out on some victories from this week, because I know it can be kind of heavy with a lot of things that are going on. So we want to continue to intercede for our current and future leaders to arise, who have that brave heart spirit, people like what Chris Reed prophesied about, have a Margaret Thatcher, who are willing to put policy decisions forth that they know will harm their political career, but ultimately will benefit society. Because sometimes you can't look at what is convenient in today's time. You have to look at what's going to sustain and hold its foundation in the long run. A house built on sand will not stand. So we have to have politicians who are actually going to do that and look towards that. And if they're not, they need to be voted out of office. So we want to start interceding for those who are in these positions underneath Biden and these current leaders to wake up and to realize this, have an awakening of themselves and a revival to get back towards not just this one ideology, but let's first off start with, let's look at the truth. Let's look at what's actually happening and then make a decision. Let's not go in presupposing that something should happen. That's the very basis of it. And then news out of CNN is that Senator Lindsey Graham will not be backing Ketanji Brown Jackson for Supreme Court nominee to get her out of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and the news that there will be no Republicans to vote for her out. I talked about earlier this week about how they can still get out of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and what it'll be is there will be no recommendation for her, because usually if they get voted out with a positive, they'll say we recommend her for the seat. What they'll do is they'll just put it for a vote in the Senate, not recommending her. And also the news I meant to get to it yesterday, but just too much. You saw Susan Collins is going to vote for her. That means if all Democrats vote for it, it's 51-49. That's all they need to confirm her and put her forward. But you also have up in the air Lisa Murkowski and Mitt Romney, who have voted against her before. At lower courts, what would change? Be very interesting to see. And then also, there's also the fact that there's still Kyrsten Sinema. There's still some there. If you get one Democrat to fold, maybe somebody who lives in resides in an independent area where they're on the block this coming midterms, could you easily persuade them? Could somebody show them it would be unwise to do this? And then I want to close on two things. We talked about how the certain areas of the country, there are Democrats trying to use the redrawing of congressional maps as a reason to win seats and take back seats of certain areas. And a Republican judge in New York said, no, this is unconstitutional. You can't do this just because you want to redraw the maps. You need to do it based upon bipartisan support. So he struck down the map that was put forward out of New York and said, you need to come together by sometime in April, I believe, to redraw the maps. So has until April 11th to pass a new map with bipartisan support and then submit the map for the court to review. So with all these lawless things happening at the court level, a judge is doing that. So that's good news. And then the last thing, which is even better news, is that there were those in the Senate who denied a nomination for Biden's Labor Department nominee by three Democrats, Kyrsten Sinema, Joe Manchin, and I can't remember exactly the other one, Mark Kelly, who denied the confirmation of former Obama administration appointee, I'm trying to David Well, who was up for the head of Department of Wages and Hourly Divisions. So the reason he's important is because there were some things that he showed in his past, like other Biden nominees, that number one, they're just Obama retreads, but number two is they showed lack of integrity and lack of results in their last appointments. So these are great things to see, is that even in this contentious, perilous times, it seems like is there are small victories here and there. And the maps in New York is bigger, I think, than we'll realize come the – not only – it's not just this midterm election. It's possibly the next really 10 years before they redraw maps again. So this has a lasting effect and just a releasing of the piece of wind of peace, I would say, over New York to show that there are – even though, you know, there's crazy stuff that goes on in New York, there are people who stand for justice all around this country. And that, you know, not to say that we're alone in this fight, but to say that there are more people out there that we probably will never know about, never meet, that do want this country to succeed, not just for, you know, our own sake, but for the sake of providing an opportunity to be able to get out of whatever situation it is, mental illness, dire economic situations, abuse, whatever the case may be, alcohol abuse. There are people who want to create a society where the sustained freedoms that we've had can go on in the future and not continue to allow just one side to ram things through because they deem them so, even though they go against basic morality, number one, and then natural law, number two. So let's take comfort in that and knowing that in this, it's time to, you know, to not just sit back like the entirety of the nation used to do, of not being aware of what's going on. Be sober mind, understand the times and seasons of what we're dealing with in this day and age. So I'll close with that and want to let you guys know that we are today going to go over a dream that deals with a lot of some of this stuff that Chris Reed had about what's to come in the months ahead, but then also the long-term effects of things happening right now and what they potentially mean. So I'll close with that. Hope you each have a great weekend, or able to release your anxieties before the Lord, before the evening watch, or during the evening watch, for the midnight watch and night watch and morning watch, so that we can hear the Lord, be in that place of peace as we enter into this season of protection, quiet comfort, as we get ready for the coming month of May. So blessings, and I will see you guys later. Have a good one.